Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You remember last week I preached on John chapter 3. Today's passage is part of a diptych. It goes along with last week's passage. And if you think about last week, we talked about Nicodemus, the teacher of Israel, who came to Jesus in search of enlightenment. And he came in the night, and he was clueless. Here, we read about the woman by the well. And she talks to Jesus during the day. She was not an insider. She wasn't part of the community. And Jesus talks with her. Now, there's been a lot of social progress since Jesus' day, so men talking to women is not such a big deal, but it was a big deal back then. And even bigger than Jesus talking to this woman was the fact that he was talking to a Samaritan woman. Now, we don't have that kind of bad blood between ourselves and another ethnicity or nationality. You can imagine what it might have been like to put a northerner and a southerner together during the Civil War. There would have been that level of tension. Now, that doesn't mean that everything is just fine and hunky-dory. I call today's message not another gated community for a reason. If anybody here lives in a gated community somewhere or knows of someone who does, I do not mean to offend you. But frankly, gated communities are weird. Now, I used to travel around for business before I went into the ministry, and I'd visit some of our alumni from the institution where I work down in Florida. And Florida is weird for many reasons. It's also good for many reasons, but there are gated communities all over the place. And to go visit someone, I would have to drive up to a booth, which would have a person in it, and he would check my ID and make sure I was on the list. And if I was, I was then welcomed into the community. And I was told where the person's home was. So I had to follow the roads to get there. And some of these places are really big. So it's not just drive down the street and it'll be the third house on your left. It's make a right turn, go around the curve, take another turn, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes they would print out a map. These weren't places where a stranger like me was supposed to wander around and look around. So I knew some people who lived in these gated communities, and some of them said nothing about it. And some of them lived in these big ones. But I also visited a really small gated community in California outside of Los Angeles. And the woman lived in this little community of two or three houses that was on top of the hill. There was a fence around it. And again, it was clear that you belonged inside or outside. That's not the kind of world God wants us to be in. I know that sounds like I'm just telling you obvious things. But we often build walls for ourselves. We often shut people out. And maybe we don't have a physical wall or a physical gate, but we can do it inside. We can decide, I don't need to get help, I don't need to talk to someone, I want to shut you out. I've referred to the banner over our front door many times over the past couple of years, but people have noticed it. And if people have been offended by it, nobody has told me that. Instead, people have said they're glad that our church has made that statement. Now, we shouldn't have to do that. It should be obvious to everyone that you're welcome in a church, regardless of who you are. But is that the way it always is? The church can be just as bad as any other institution. The church can be really good about saying, stay out, you're not one of us. And people wonder why we've got so many problems. And it's not we First Congregational Church, but it's we the larger church. Groucho Marx once said he wouldn't want to join any club that would have him as a member. The church should be a club that has everyone as its member, regardless of your beliefs, regardless of your social status, regardless of your educational credentials. We don't care. And I believe this church has tried to model that kind of behavior. If it didn't, I would not have come here 13 years ago. I've said this before, this has been a good place to raise my family, and it's been a great community in which to raise my son. You folks have opened your hearts and you've opened your arms to my family, but also to the wider community. Yesterday we had a quilters group here. We had the Anonymous Coffee House here a couple weeks ago. The music sector comes and practices here. Lots of groups that are not religiously affiliated or oriented come and use our building, and they appreciate the space and they thank us for letting them come here. We don't turn them away. So I want to look at John again. And this is it's a long story. We know nothing about this woman. We don't know her name. It could have been Abigail. It could have been Hortense. It could have been Aisha. We have no idea. All we know about her is that she was a Samaritan, and she was married many times. Now, we don't know if that was because she was a serial divorcee or because all of her husbands died. But it seemed to be a bone of contention for her. Jesus named this. And most of the people back in the community that day would have shunned her. They would have given her the scarlet letter. And if you think about it, getting water from a well is not easy. Water's heavy. If you've ever carried a bucket of it, think about the jar that you would bring to a well. Those are big. You would go in the very early morning or at the end of the day when the sun set. You don't want to do that kind of labor in the middle of the day. But she was there because she wouldn't have to talk to people. She wouldn't have to deal with people. Jesus talked with her. Jesus dealt with her. And Jesus named what he was alluding to in last week's passage. For God so loved the world that he came and gave his only begotten Son. That was it. God loves us. Now, I can't offer you any deep insight beyond that. That's what I've got to offer. God loves us. God loves you. God loves you. For whatever reason, God loves me. God loves all of us. And so, yeah, we can leave here at the end of the service, and we can go think of the people we like and the people we don't like, and we can think of reasons to build barriers between ourselves and our neighbors. But if we do that, we are building a barrier between ourselves and Jesus. I performed a funeral yesterday for a woman named Ellie Sullivan, who lived up in the Hillcrest Acres neighborhood. And Ellie loved people. She loved her family, and she loved her neighbors, and she was good friends with the sergeants. And I told the congregation yesterday that one of the things that we Protestant preachers do, and I was called out on this by my preaching professors, we often like to give people assignments at the end of our messages. And I said I was going to give them an assignment, something they had to do. And I said, think about Ellie and think of how you can honor her. And you can do that by being a better neighbor, by being a better friend to people. It sounds easy, doesn't it? Until I've got this thing I need to do, until that issue commands my attention. Lent is a time for us to acknowledge what we're doing wrong. We all need to repent. Each and every one of us. And you know the old bromide that the only thing in life that's universal are death and taxes? Sin is too. Each and every one of us has sinned. And each and every one of us will sin again. But if we come before God with an open heart and confess our sin, God will forgive us. That's a pretty good deal. Think about that. So, it's Lent, so I'm talking about sin. And I'm a Congregationalist, so I'm talking about sin. And I'm not going to become a Puritan and preach at you for 3 hours. But I am going to ask you to think how you would deal with the woman at the well. Would you shut her out? Would you ignore her? Would you tell her to go somewhere else? Or would you be willing to welcome her? Would you be willing to establish a connection? And being friendly or neighborly to someone does not mean that they have to become your bosom companion. But maybe they will. Take a risk. Let the stranger in. You'll be surprised sometimes. And God will be glad you did it. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you this day for the gift of Scripture. We thank you for Jesus and for his service and his witness. We thank you for the call you have issued to each and every one of us to be the people you would have us be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.